title of this message is Satisfied with God's Word. Satisfied with God's Word. When we are born again, or born from above, or born of the Spirit, we are actually being born into the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except you are born again, you cannot see, you cannot visualize the kingdom of God. And then he said, unless you are born of the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is in John verse 3. No, I'm not sure. But anyways, John 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, somewhere in there. Okay, so now in Isaiah 5:19, it says, now it's kind of my wording here, but Isaiah 5:13, it says, God's people go into bondage because they have no knowledge, they have no understanding. See, they that understand, what shows us that it's understanding is a hard-to-get commodity. And so in verse 14, it says, and so hell enlarges her borders. As hell was not designed for people. It was designed for the devil and his angels. And so then we go down to Isaiah 5, verse 24, and it says, and they shall therefore be consumed. And why? Because they cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. And I'm saying, how do they do that? By the same method that has been over and over since the beginning of time, by private interpretations, and they despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. And how did they do this? By replacing God's word with creeds and doctrines not found anywhere within God's holy word. I was thinking the other day, and I can't remember exactly where I found it in the scriptures, but there's things that God, that he hates. And it's when men dishonor, disrespect, disregard, and disobey his word. The four disses. When they dishonor, they disrespect, they disregard, and they disobey God's word. I had something else I wanted to say here, but anyway, satisfied with God's word. I wonder if the devil had access to Adam and Eve's thoughts before the fall. I mean, I have no way of knowing that. I know that after the fall, it gave him an inner access to humanity, and we can see it in the reactions of both Adam and Eve right after they disobeyed God. And then, or did they have to hear the devil's voice audibly and then disobey God's word? See, I don't know. I have no way of knowing any of this. But either way, the devil is able today to tempt men within their thoughts. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, with Genesis 2:9, somehow had to have the presence of the devil known. God is only good, and the devil is evil. So in order to know the evil aspect from the tree, the devil had to be somehow recognized. And maybe that's the way why God allowed him into the garden. Who knows? See, God is only good, while the devil, the only known angel to ever blatantly rebel against God, is continually evil. He chose to disobey God, which made him evil. And so when we are told to test the spirits or try the spirits to see whether they're from God, the only way to try the spirits is in relationship to the good word of God and not in the words of the seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. You can't discern the spirits through the doctrines of devils, because we're not equipped to do that. The only way we can develop an ability to discern is through our relationship with the Word of God. And yet, if men, many men, give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, then they will build their churches around those doctrines. And that is what has happened. And they try to discern good and evil by the use of false doctrines. And we have that widespread. And as such, do you suppose that we have any doctrines of devils in evidence today? Do you suppose any of these are? And as such, do you suppose, you know, that any of these doctrines are not supported or proven by the good Word of God? Will more than likely be from the enemy? If the doctrine is not God's doctrine, where'd it come from? The enemy who works to make the man Christ Jesus into a deity image? Now we see that in 1 John 4. Now that's not easy to put that picture together, but if you read it a few times, if you listen to it and you let the Holy Spirit get involved, every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not from God. And that is the spirit of the Antichrist. Verse 3, 1 John 4, 3. And so to oppose the plan and the purpose of God, and maybe even to try and convince men that he, the devil, was not defeated by an earthling, see, that is a real a blemish to the devil. It's a real work on his pride and his things that make up who he is. And he was defeated by a man. It can't be. He had to be defeated by a God. And that's because men are not understanding who Jesus Christ was and is. And so they think, well, the devil had to be defeated by a spirit being, which is nowhere supported within the good Word of God. See, God did not bring forth another God. He is sufficient. But rather, a man, the second Adam, in order to reverse the damage done by the first Adam, by the first man, by the disobedience of one man, sin came into the world, but by the obedience of the second man, the second Adam, many were made righteous. That's what it says. And as such, because the second Adam stood firmly against the one that caused the first Adam to fall, he set the stage for others to also defeat the devil within their own lives and therefore please God. I mean, we have the potential of defeating the devil and pleasing God because Jesus himself overcame. See, he says, I have overcome. Be not concerned about the world, for I have defeated it. I have beaten it. I have overcome the enemy. So we can defeat the devil as well. However, since the devil has hidden himself so well within the doctrines of devils that are so prominent in the churches, he is able to destroy the souls of men pretty much unchallenged. It's pretty hard. He's not even challenged. And see, the only defense that men have is the Word of God's truth. I was just talking to somebody just recently, just today, and I said, you know, it's a strange thing, but the devil has access to all kinds of foreign materials and books and things that people use to prove their false doctrines, while the Holy Spirit, it's not that he's limited to our existing Word of God, but that is what he uses. He builds all of his cases and everything out of that Word, and he is able to take the spiritual aspect of the Word of God and put spiritual insights into people's lives through it. He compares spiritual with spiritual. I can't do that. And so the only defense that men have is the Word of God's truth, revealed clearly by the Holy Spirit from the Word of God. And that is why God places a great blessing upon all of those who delight in His Word. See, blessed is the man whose delight is in my Word. See, the Word of God tells us, and it is pretty obvious as we read it and hear the Scriptures, that God really did speak to men through the prophets of old. God did this speaking through holy men of old, the Bible says. Men who were tuned into Him and were subject to what His Spirit would speak through them. And of course, His Son and His Son's disciples in these last days, He has also spoken to us through Him, so through them. And so when we read 1 and 2 Peter, or we read the writings of Paul, that is actually, God is speaking through these men to us. As such, what God said to us, as we believe it and accept it by faith, is a truth factor that allows or causes the expression of God's power to be revealed within His people. The faith factor of the truth that is in God's Word, as it is, as we have the 66 books of the Bible and mainly through the New Testament, the faith factor that comes out of that is what allows the expression of God's power to be revealed to His people. It requires that Word. The last verse of Mark tells us that God confirmed His Word with signs following. And I'd like to say again, God confirmed His Word. He didn't confirm my private interpretation. He didn't confirm my theology. He confirmed His Word. And so again, if God is going to confirm the Word, it's going to be His Word. It's going to be the truth aspect of His Word. So let's do some serious thinking. And like Chuck would say, seriously, the first definition of confirm in the dictionary is to prove to be true or correct, or to make certain. See, confirm means to prove to be true or correct, or make certain. And so would not having a form of godliness and yet denying God's power sort of be the reverse of any of that? Which would suggest that maybe a love for the truth is not a part of the picture of the churches as we see them today. I could not understand why God never confirmed my great spiritual understanding over the years. I had a hard time. You know what? There's lots of other people just like me. They know they have the truth. I knew that what we had was the truth. We had the best teachers anywhere. I was convinced, and yet God would not confirm what we taught with signs following, and I couldn't understand it until I was slowly pointed towards real revelation and understanding that made what I thought that I knew pathetic and obsolete. What I thought I knew was a far cry from what I'm beginning to understand. And you know what? I'm beginning to understand. I can't even put myself in a position where I can say that I understand. I'm beginning to understand. As such, when an audible voice said to me, if you are serious and want to find me, and anyway, and then somehow took me out and away from all church doctrines and theories, and I was taken away from the church doctrines and church theories, and God planted my heart into God's Word, into His Word alone. I felt like a fish out of the water, and then slowly the Holy Spirit began to make more and more sense out of the eternal words of the Creator, until I began to lose contact with the thought patterns and the theories of today's churches. I have lost contact with the theories and so forth. And so when God, through Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:17, said to come out from among them and be separate, I now realize that God has a strange way of doing that for us himself. If you hang on to him and let him lead and guide you by the Spirit will slowly lead and guide you out, away from these phony baloney doctrinal things. And so, as such, if someone, anyone, will develop a real 24/7 relationship with the Word of God, and therefore the Holy Spirit of God, get him involved in that relationship, they will automatically come out from among these false things. The Word of God will take you out. It's a water, like a water substance that washes these ungodly thoughts right out of your head. But does not Romans 8:14 tell us that those, that the true sons of God, that who are, those who are actually led by the Holy Spirit are the true sons of God, and as such, would not the Holy Spirit lead men out of false doctrine? Isn't that what he does? Or is it maybe a tendency, like in Galatians chapter 3, to begin being led by the Holy Spirit and then go back into the comfort zones that you knew before? I mean, we see that repeated not only in the Galatians, but we see that in other places in the New Testament. As such, it really puzzles me how so many of those at Azusa Street who supposedly loved and believed God's Word could hang on to something as unscriptural as a Trinity, even though they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't the Holy Spirit lead and guide them out of it? Or were they maybe not willing to come out? And yet, when a few years later, some did get the understanding that the Trinity was not supported by the Scriptures, there was a division that exists even to this day. There's still a division because of it. However, a false inner concept that was built into the Trinity, a concept built in by the Antichrist, a concept. And the concept said that Jesus Christ is either both God or man, and man, or that he's God. But he's not just man. He's either both or he's God. And the thing that is so unbelievable here is a steady, ongoing relationship with the Word of God removes this. You can't see anything anywhere in the Scriptures that support him being either a God-man or God. Everything in the Scripture shows him as a son of God, a man. And so that concept still remains today within many of those who rejected the Trinity 100 years ago. They rejected the Trinity, but they never looked at the Scriptures. They were not noble like those of Berea. They did not examine the Scriptures and see that the Scriptures do not support Jesus being anything except a man that God raised up, like unto Moses. God made him to be everything that he was. He made him to be Lord in Christ. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It wasn't a God that he said that about. See, it is not nearly enough to come out of the Trinity, but some of the false concepts of the Trinity have to also come out from us. And you know what? That was a battle. I had my battle as well as other people. See, the introduction of the Trinity was one of the major methods that the devil used so as to change the true identity of Christ. Now, we are supposed to know the only true God. We're supposed to know Jesus Christ. We're supposed to know, as it says in 1 Timothy 2:5, the man Christ Jesus. We're supposed to know him. We're supposed to know him as Paul wanted to know him in Philippians 3. We're supposed to understand that, you know, we're being baptized into the image of a man in Romans 6. And so, from all of the Scriptures, Christ was seen and expressed as an obedient man that was glorified by God. Why? You know what? We only know a little bit. The time's coming when we're going to know the whole picture. But we do know that everything in the Scriptures everywhere says that Jesus is a man. And we have to do some fancy footwork to make him into anything else. And since the devil has worked so hard to remove the man image and put a God image of Christ within men's hearts, it requires the Holy Spirit using the eternal word, the sword of God, of the Spirit, in order to put the book of Acts image back within men's hearts. It took a while. One day I realized the image has changed. I never saw before. The man, Christ Jesus. The glorified man. The one that God has said that, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The one that is the only begotten. That makes him different than any one other person that ever lived. He's the only begotten Son of God. But he's still a man. See, every New Testament reference to Christ is as a man. And now, after reading and hearing so much evidence of Christ's humanity from the Scriptures, it puzzles me that any real Bible reader could not see this as truth. It puzzles me. However, if we are deceived and are not really willing to see, then revelations of truth from God's eternal word will never, maybe ever, come our way. We won't get the revelations. And of course, that is why God says, except, this is in Matthew 18:3, except men allow themselves to become converted and approach God as little willing to learn children. See? Except you become converted and become as little children. Not you don't become children, you become as little children. And if they don't, they will never enter into the kingdom of heaven, it says in Matthew 18:3. And seeing today's great emphasis upon education, I mean worldly education especially, and wisdom and prudence, see, one of the last things that it appears to be in the minds of the great ones of today's churches is to approach God as a little child would approach him. That's one of the last things. If we have education, we'll have understanding. See? And what's the problem? See, in John 17:3, what's the problem? Eternal life is to know thee, the only true God. And I'd like to put in 1 Timothy 2:5, and the man Christ Jesus that you sent. See, if men actually had even a clue as to who God is and who they are, men would fall on their faces in repentance and would not knowing God in John 17:3 include the revelation of how awesome and wonderful and great God is and how totally dependent we are upon him and forever, even for our next breath. See, the work of the Antichrist, the devil, is to try and remove or hide the difference there is between the one who created all things and those that he created. My next message, I got a title for it, kind of just popped up at me, and I'm calling it The Potter and the Clay. And revelation, you want some revelations? You probably already have them, but listen to that message. In fact, the devil himself was created or developed or designed by God somehow. He's a spirit, but all of the spirits came from God. I don't know how. As such, as the Bible says, he left his first estate, which was in Jude, we see in Jude verse 6, or his position of greatness that God had given him, and he did that which no angel of God should have ever done, since they had much more understanding than men. For him to disobey God is one thing. It's bad when men do, and they'll pay a price for it. But for an angel to disobey God, that's another issue. And he rose up in pride and exalted himself against the one who brought him forth. See, God hates pride in men and in devils. And because it elevates God's creation. And therefore, it dishonors God. mocks God. See, being created, at the best, we are and will be always in subjection to the one who created us. That's the best. We're going to always be in subjection, submission to the one that created us. And therefore, knowing what he knew, the devil, how could he have ever done that which he did? I mean, it's unthinkable. See, hell was designed for the devil and his demons. However, men who listen to the devil, unfortunately, will join him for his eternal torment. See, unless they repent. See, we are told that due to man's sinfulness, that hell will enlarge her borders. See, so unrepentant sin and men full of pride and whatever, and a rebellion against God, is going to have its due judgment. And so anyway, whether we like the idea of this torment or judgment or whatever else, a just God will recompense rebellion in men, and it'll be just. See, the devil works on men's thoughts so as to get them to question God's existence and his reality. In Hebrews 11:6, we are told that in order to come to God, we must be fully convinced that God is real. We must be convinced that he is real. And if not, we will spend an entire lifetime just out of the faith realm and not touch God. See, faith, as God seems to define it, actually becomes a place that the understanding that comes through the natural schooling systems does not get. See, that it is greater. The faith understanding is greater than all natural understandings. I've missed a word here. And since faith actually comes by the hearing of God's word in truth, then somehow the Holy Spirit is able to cause those eternal words that are God's truth to develop inside of those who hear them with ears to hear. And that's the difference. See, it's not, it doesn't say and have ears to listen. It says and have ears to hear. And we are of the flesh, and as such we hear normally with ears of the flesh. While the Word of God is actually a spirit substance, like God is, and however, somehow, when men are born again, or of the nature of the Spirit, the words of God's book, which the natural man is only able to understand as a letter, begin to develop somehow and somewhere within men as a spirit substance, and it turns into faith that understands. And I look at myself and I think, I have nowhere near come to any final development. Of course, I mean, I'm just a beginning in this thing, but my faith nature has changed so much. I'm beginning to develop something somewhere inside of me that does not use or need to use the same system I used to use in my worldly education. And since there's so much emphasis within God's Word concerning the ongoing day and night relationship with His Word, I am convinced that God's Word is only able to build real faith understanding within men when it does not have to compete with the theories and the private interpretations of men and devils. The Holy Spirit was not given to compete. He was given to instruct. When he comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. But if he has to compete with other doctrines that we insist on feeding in and trying to make them fit along with what the Holy Spirit is telling us, it ain't going to work, boys and girls. If you want to get the faith relationship, the substance called faith, if you want to get an understanding that comes from faith, you can't try two ends against the middle. It won't work. You can't have take in the worst or the wrong and the right at the same time. You've got to take in just God's word. Jesus said, sanctify them in your through your truth. Your word is truth. You can't get sanctified through other things if you can't try to fit them in with God's word. In 1 Corinthians 2:5, Paul warned his hearers to not let their faith rest within the wisdom of men. He says, your faith has to rest in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. You don't want men's faith, anyone's faith to be built upon the wisdom of men. And so I'm afraid, Paul, that not very many took today, especially today, took what you said seriously. In Isaiah 5, verse 13, and this I read this earlier, God said that his people are going into bondage because they have no knowledge or understanding. And then in verse 14 he said, and this sets the stage for hell to enlarge her borders. And then in verse 24 it says, therefore they shall be consumed because they cast away the law of the Lord of hosts. And I'm saying they did it through their private interpretations and their doctrines of devils, men and devils. And they despise the holy word of the word of the Holy One of Israel, because they replaced it. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and these people did the same thing. They replaced it with other things. Jesus gave us a profound parable, and it's a parable of the sower. And I've used that parable, and I've mentioned it I don't know how many times. And in which he compared the seed that was sown by the sower to the Word of God. And as such, the vast majority never get deeper than some man sowing seeds, and it becomes a letter substance, a natural understanding. However, I just began to see some deeper understanding, see the seed, or the Word of God, works very much like the natural seed. And like the natural seed, the Word of God needs fertile soil so as to send roots deep down into the human soul and heart. And that is the reason for the 24/7 relationship with God's Word, with that seed. The Word needs to keep sending roots deeper and deeper into the hearts of men. And what do the roots do? They stabilize the tree. They stabilize the life. It said, I will hide your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. Well, what's that mean? Roots are going down deep into the soil, into the fertile soil, into the heart, into the good areas. And when men delight in God's word, and they love it, and they take it in, and they read it, and they listen to it, it goes down deeper and deeper and deeper into the hearts. See, the deeper the roots, and many roots, the stronger and bigger the tree is able to be on top of the roots. See, we want some maturity. We want to be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil. We want to be able to stand firm, no matter how strong the wind of opposition blows. The deeper and deeper the roots get, the more wind the mighty tree is able to endure. See, today's churches resemble the jack pine jungle that surrounds this church. We have a jack pine jungle. And a fellow years ago, he's passed away now, but he planted all these jack pines, and he was going to, I guess, sell them to be harvested to the paper mills. Well, anyway, they've become too big, and there's no need for them, and so we have all these jack pines. Well, anyway, they have no lifespan. They only last a few years, and then they die. They are easily blown over. They're worthless. They're not even good firewood. I've had a hard time even finding anyone that wants. We can't sell them for sure. I can't find people that even want them. When they're green, they develop creosote in the chimneys, when they're dry, they're like burning paper or cardboard. There's no substance. There's just no weight to them. You can't make fire. You can't make any lumber out of them. The devil's objective, since Adam and Eve, is to get people away from God's word and as such, or dissatisfied with it. Get people unhappy with the word. Well, you know what? If all it is a letter to people, and they read it as a letter, of course they're going to get dissatisfied. It don't make any sense. As such, the devil said to Eve, did God really say? He put quite reasonable doubt. Did God really say? And then he said, God knows they're saying God knows that he's not telling you. And so he worked on Eve's natural weaknesses, her impatience, and maybe probably on her curiosity. People are known to have curiosity, and some women especially. And this was an area of weakness, and most people have it. I mean, they're saying God knows that he's not telling you. And she says to herself, what do you mean that he doesn't want me to know? And he doesn't. See, as yet, she wasn't ready. But that doesn't matter. You know, I want to know anyway. Curiosity. Plus, God never seems to be in any hurry. And he goes by his timetable and not by ours. And so we read, when the fullness of time came, what's that mean? See? What it means is when God's will and purposes were right, or the time that God decided was the right time, however. I mean, God knows everything, so however. And as John the Baptist said in John 3:27, a man can receive nothing except to be given to him from above. Well, even though Jesus told us that eternal life is to know the Father and the Son, men must be in the right God-given frame of mind, or it will never happen. I was told how and where to look, but you know what? I have been made to realize now that very, very few today know where to look or even how to look. We have to be led even in how to look. And we have to be brought and led by the Spirit into where to look. Men are looking everywhere. It's like the book of Amos. It says when God would send a famine, not for a famine of bread and water, but a famine for the hearing of the Lord, of the word. If we ever had that famine, it is now. And people are carrying Bibles under their arms. They carry them to church. They read passages out of it. And they're in the middle of the worst famine maybe that's ever existed. Because the devil has introduced all kinds of books and all kinds of theology and all kinds of theories and private interpretations. And men go by these things thinking they're doing God's will, and they're not even in the ballpark. I was told how and where to look. But I have been made to realize that very, very few today know where to look or even how to look. And so men waste valuable lifetimes looking through the maze of theories and doctrines that have developed over the years within the churches, while right at their fingertips is all of the answers that they need to know the truth. However, there is something within men called the will or willingness. And as such, if eternal life does not mean enough so as to go after God and find him, men are going to lose their souls. It's just that simple. And so anyway, I am satisfied with God's word. I am dissatisfied with the thoughts and the theories and the things that are in the churches today. I'm not happy with them. And I'm happy with God's word, because God is putting something in me that makes his word satisfactory. It's all I need. I don't need all this other stuff. So anyway, let's develop such a love for God's word and a satisfaction We don't have to read something else. We don't have to look, and we don't have to critique God's word. We're not capable of it. We're not able to. Don't let anybody deceive you. I love you. God bless you.